should your past sexual history be disclosed when it comes to rape and sexual assault cases? International footballer Ched Evans has been found not guilty of raping a 19-year-old woman at a retrial, but the decision to allow the jury to hear her sexual history has sparked outrage from women's support groups and campaigners. On the line is journalist Finola Meredith and deputy editor of Spiked magazine Tom Slater. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinny.
Morning.
Tom, some will say that this is a dangerous precedent, and in fact some critics have called this a throwback to the last century.
No, definitely. And I think that's really just a complete myth. Now, one thing we need to get really straight in terms of this case is that this is not some sort of new low for the criminal justice system, and this is not using someone's sexual history, i.e. their promiscuity or their background, etc., to compromise their case in a criminal trial. There are rules against that, and rightly so. It's neo-Victorian that someone's sexual propensity should have some bearing on a criminal trial like that. Where there is an exception is in relation to if there is evidence of someone's, say, sexual practices or previous sexual engagements with people which bears similarity with the event that the defendant is claiming took place. That is not say that it's just about the content of how they might, what they might enjoy or the way they might have acted, just to suggest that to corroborate their case that in this instance it was consensual sex. This is not a case of suggesting that someone's promiscuity or waywardness therefore bears them some culpability. That is not what happened here. And the other point I just want to quickly make is I think there's something deeply troubling in the way that this case has been reacted to, the way in which it's kind of been politicised. Fundamentally, all criminal cases need to function under objectivity, under a presumption of innocence, under the standards of reasonable doubt. And I think in this climate in which certain campaigners, many of them well-meaning but ultimately misguided, are taking anything short of a conviction as some sort of injustice, I think it really clouds that. Unless these people who are really really outraged and reacting to this result have some sort of evidence that the trial didn't hear, then we need to accept the result fundamentally, because otherwise we are just prejudicing what has to be a very delicate and very objective investigation.
Finola?
I agree with a lot of what Tom said there. I think there's been a lot of hysteria around this case, and it's important that we're precise and exact and we refer to the evidence. And it's true, as I understand it, that this is an exceptional case, that we don't have some kind of legal precedent now by which women's sexual history can be dragged into court. That said, my issue with it is the general perception. How many of us have sat down and read the judgment? How many people will do that? There will be a general perception that this could be the case, and I think it's the perception that could be the deterrent for women coming forward with accusations of rape. I think that's the danger, not so much the kind of the niceties or the precise legal nature of it, which I agree, you know, I think we do have to be so specific about, but there's a general perception that, you know, women could be put off by the reporting of this case, by the hysteria around it. That's why we've always got to come back to the evidence. And one further thing I would say is we've also got to remember the fact that the accuser in this case has been through absolute hell. She never actually made an accusation of rape. She said she couldn't remember what had happened, and the case was built around that. She's had to, you know, change her name. She's had to move numerous times. She's had a really horrible time. So again, that perception goes out as well. We want people, if people have been raped, we want them to be able to come forward and say so and not be deterred.
Tom, there could be an issue where people do believe, women in particular, that they could be put off, that if they do go and report it and it ends up in court, regardless of who it is, it could turn into some kind of media circus. And then, of course, as a sideline, their sexual history could be questioned or could be made public, something that most people hold as something quite private.
No, completely. But I think the idea that there's kind of widespread public attitudes which are at stake here, I think, is a little bit tenuous. I think the main problem that I see around not just the Ched Evans case, but also more broadly, is that there is an attempt to redress for what has been undoubtedly a deeply kind of shameful treatment of complainants in sexual assault cases for a very long time. And my problem is that I think there's been an attempt to kind of overcompensate for that in such a way that does water down some of these very important legal principles. It's about 2014, the CPS have been suggesting that people, particularly the police when they're investigating claims, believe the victim up until the point of prosecution. And I think that beyond that, it's kind of fed a kind of cultural climate in which the idea that you need to effectively kind of believe the victim up until the point of a trial has actually really diluted the presumption of innocence and reasonable doubt. But in just to respond to the question about putting people off, I think there is also an adverse consequence to this attempt to effectively drive up convictions or get more cases to court, as far as, of course, the vast majority of complainants in rape cases are not doing it perniciously, etc. And the issue is that when you have a situation which you're trying to get more and more to court, in which there's calls to believe the victim, etc., in which, as I said earlier, there is a climate in which anything short of a conviction in these cases is taken as an injustice, you do kind of perpetuate the idea that people aren't being believed by the criminal justice system. On the whole, there is vast attempts to make sure that complainants are treated well. In some respects, it goes too far in my argument. But at the same time, I think if again, you create a climate in which anything short of a conviction is taken as some sort of injustice, that will naturally put people off in the long run.
Do you think, Fionnuala, could Chet Evans have had a fair trial without this information being put before the jury?
Well, it's impossible to say. I mean, to say we weren't sitting in that courtroom. We weren't hearing all this evidence. And it was a really complicated trial. I mean, I've read a lot of coverage about it. I haven't sat down and read the judgment, but I've been following it quite closely. And, you know, as Tom and I have both already said, it's complex, it's precise. We need to speak about the evidence. Who knows whether, you know, what way it would have gone? The jury decided in this case that he was not guilty, that Chet Evans was not guilty. So he's an innocent man in the eyes of the law. I suppose my concern is with the broader perception around the case and how that will play out in the minds of women who have actually been raped, and the fear, I suppose, that it will deter them from coming forward, not just in terms of the sexual history side of things, but the fact that the woman herself was hounded so revoltingly on social media, and not just on social media, by so-called supporters of Chet Evans.
We were talking to legal expert Joshua Rosenberg earlier, and he said that it's possible that people who believe they have been raped will be deterred from coming forward because they wrongly think they'll be cross-examined in the same way. And
that's
obviously
precisely what I mean. I think that's the thing, because, yes, they do wrongly believe it, in the sense that I do believe this was an exceptional circumstance. Now,
but the perception, whether they're right or wrong, if it still puts them off, then that still is an issue.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. Do you think, Fionnuala, and Tom has kind of alluded to this already, in terms of people that are outraged at a not guilty verdict and would not have been happy, some people, unless it was a guilty, will Chet now, by the public, do you think, be seen as an innocent man?
That's more difficult to judge. I think he probably will be left with huge reputational difficulties, despite the fact that he's been declared innocent. I think Tom has a point in saying that there is this kind of thirst for convictions, but they have to be correct convictions. That benefits everyone. If anyone has been raped, then you want there to be a thorough, intensive and forensic criminal process in which everyone's words and all the possibilities are weighed up. There can't just be this race for a conviction. I think it's really important that due process has to be gone through. But as for Chet Evans' future, I mean, obviously he now has been exonerated in the eyes of the law, but, you know, mud sticks.
Tom, just last question to you, and this is possibly an entire debate on its own, but does this lead to calls for anonymity for people that are being accused of such crimes until they are prosecuted?
I mean, that's certainly where I imagine the debate is going to go next, but I think that would be a really wrong step. I think that anonymity is a problem, not only in terms of defendants, but also in terms of...
Yeah, but
of
as Fionnuala says, mud sticks regardless of the not guilty or the guilty verdict.
Completely. I just think it's bad news for justice, effectively. I think that the thing about justice being done in a courtroom is that it's in public. It needs to be in full view, and I think that is compromised. And also, if we're talking about the stigma attached to making rape claims, I do think there is an element whereby anonymity, whilst again done for the best of intentions, perpetuates the idea that they've ultimately done something wrong. I think we need to find better ways of making sure that people in these claims are treated better rather than going to anonymity, which again I think waters down some of these pretty important legal principles.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Tom Slater, thank you very much, and Fionnuala Meredith, thank you very much as well.